On that note, we're going to learn Daf Mem Tes Maseches Nedarim, which is the beginning of the sixth parak, parak HaNoidim and HaMavushal. That's the name of the parak, where it starts right at the beginning of the Amid. So that's where we'll start from. HaNoidim min HaMavushal. Somebody makes a neder from something that is cooked. Now, what it means over here is it doesn't mean the item that is cooked, it means the process of cooking. So, and that's a particular way of expressing yourself. So the Mishnah therefore says, the Chiddush is, mutter b'tzliya v'shaluk. It's mutter, therefore, to eat foods that are prepared using the method of roasting or b'shaluk. Now, shaluk is an interesting word over here. It's a machlekes rishonim, how to interpret the word. Typically, the word shaluk means overcooked. Means things that are cooked too much. And whatever, there are certain foods that need to be overcooked in order to be enjoyable for whatever reason. However, the Ran and other Rishonim learn that shaluk in this context means less cooked. It means undercooked, right? Mevushal v'loy mevushal. Okay, because the Ran's shita, at least the way he formulates the shita, is based on the fact that once it's mevushal, then it's already osur and included in my neder. The fact that I continue to cook it and continue to cook it and continue to cook it and so on, that doesn't make it not mevushal anymore. So therefore, the Ran therefore is forced to learn that the word b'shaluk in this context means undercooked. So basically, it's clear that the word shaluk means it's a type of cooking, but it is not cooked in the normal amount. So even though normally we apply that concept to overcooked, over here it would be undercooked. In any event, the point is that the word mevushal is very specific, and when a person makes an eder about those kind of things that are mevushal, therefore he does not include, at least according to the Tana of our Mishnah, he does not include those things that are done in a different fashion, which is roasted and so forth. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, and uses same concept but a slightly different variation. Omar, if a person were to say, "Koinim tavshil sha'ani toyim," he says, "I'm making myself asur and eating those the type of foods that are cooked." Now, over here, the word tavshil actually means, probably better translated into English, as a dish, something that is prepared as a dish, I'm using the word cooked very loosely. Because over here it's not the method of cooking that we're talking about. Over here it's the fact that it's prepared that is really the prepared with heat that is the point that the Mishnah is trying to say. But as we'll see, also it also has a very specific connotation or meaning. Therefore, it's a noun versus a verb. Correct. So osur b'maisa kedeiro rach. So that would include those things that are prepared in a pot that are still runny, that are still liquidy, and therefore that's the kind of dish that you're referring to. As we'll see in the Gemara, that it's referring to the kind of food that you would eat together and alongside bread. But it would be therefore mutter to eat. It would not be included in your neder something that is very thick. Because it's not something that you would eat with bread, it's something that you would eat independently. So that's not a tavshil, that's not a dish. That's its own thing. Now, umutzer bebeza termuta, ubdalas haramutza. So, beza termuta is, again, it's this type of egg that they used to cook in hot and cook in cold, and a thousand times or 100 times back and forth, it says, the Ran says 1,000 times. They would cook it literally back and forth until eventually it would shrink the egg down to bite size. But the point is, once it was bite size, so then it no longer needed to be eaten with bread. It was his own little hors d'oeuvre or whatever it was, and therefore that's why it'd be mutter. So even though it is clearly cooked, it is not considered the type of food that is included in your neder. And the Dlasa Marutza is also, again, there are those that learn Marutza is like from a name of a certain city, but it means a, it's a type of thing. It was a little bit bitter. It was used more of a medicine. That type of thing, they would stick it back into the ground, and so on and so forth. But it's even though a delas that's regularly cooked would be normally considered a tavshil, this marutza business is, again, either it means from a certain area called marutza, or it was prepared in a certain way. Anyway, the point is not in the regular, typical way. Then the end of the Mishnah is a little bit easier. Hanoidim Ramaisa Kedeiro. Somebody who says, I'm making a neder from those things that are prepared in a pot. Eina Osir Ella Mimaisa Rasachasa. I'm only Osir in those things that are boiled. Meaning, that when I say a pot, I don't mean necessarily dry fried or something like that, or roasted in a pot. It means it has to be cooked in a pot with heat. It's not, again, not using a pot to mix your salad. That's not what's asr. Omar koinim hayeru l'kadeiro, but if I say that I am asr for anything that goes into a pot, shani time that I'm not going to eat, then asr b'kolad misbashlin l'kadeiro. Then it's asr in anything that is cooked in a pot, no matter what it is. Here, this is in contrast to the beginning part of the Mishnah. Here, it would include anything, overcooked, undercooked, hard, soft, runny, whatever, it doesn't make a difference anymore, because I said anything that goes into a pot. So now I no longer pay attention to what the result is. The point is that it went into a pot, and I needed a pot to prepare the food. So then it's going to be usher. That's the Mishnah. So right away, as we said, we started the Mishnah by saying this is the Shita of the Tana of the Mishnah. Right away, the Gemara brings Tanya, Rabbi Yoshia Oyser. Rabbi Yoshia says it's usher. Now, the question is, what is he referring to? The Ran, once again, learns that we're referring specifically to roasting. That everything is usher, including roasting. Even if I said the word mafushal, I didn't necessarily mean to limit myself to cooking, boiling. It includes roasting as well. Just so, that's the Ran Shita. There happens to be other Rishonim that learn that it includes all other types of food preparation. Right? It means sholok as well, and so on and so forth. But the Ran Shita is that it's talking about roasting, which fits into the Gemara very nicely, because that's what the Gemara itself is going to discuss in a moment. Then Rabbi Yoshia continues, even though I don't have a proof that the Torah would use the word bishul to include everything else, but there's certainly a reference in the Torah. Shanemar, as the Pasuk in Koheles says, Divrei Yamim, Pasuk in Divrei Yamim says, V'yivashlu Pesach Be'esh Kimishbat, that they used to roast. It's a vayivashlu is the lashon of cooking, and they used to make the carbon, they prepare the carbon pesach in a fire, which is roasting. So we see that the Torah itself, the Navi, uses the word, the verb bishul, when referring to roasting. So therefore, a person, when they use the word mevushal, they don't necessarily limit themselves to boiling in a pot. It could include roasting as well. So that's it. So it's a straight out machlokes. It's a brisa and a mishnah whether the word mevushal includes other forms of heat of preparation on the fire. So
what about the
blame of a hakam iflagi? So what are the Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yoshia arguing about? The Rabbi Yoshia saw our halach achaloshin Torah, that we, if that's the way the Torah uses the word, and I make a neder, then I'm relying on the way the Torah translates the word, and therefore it includes roasting as well. V'tana dilan sabar ben adarim halach achaloshin b'nei adam, which is a phrase that we're more familiar with. Our Tana, on the other hand, goes and relies that by nedarim. When I say the neder, and I'm the one making the neder, and I'm the one that's creating the isser, what do I mean? It has nothing to do with what the Torah, how the Torah necessarily used the word. If the Torah used the word in a fashion or in a manner that I wouldn't necessarily, in my way of speaking, use the word, so then that doesn't matter what the Torah, unless I say I want it to be the way the Torah translates it. But if I use a word and it means something else in a regular way, so then it depends on what I say, and therefore when I say the word bishul, I only mean those things cooked in the pot. I don't mean roasted, and that's why our Tana says as roasted is not included. Anyway, but then it would come out that there is a shita, which is a very unusual shita, that when I make a neder, I'm not even relying on what I meant. I'm relying on the way the Torah meant it, and if the Torah meant it something else, I could end up including something in my neder that I never really intended. So the Gemara immediately says, "Loi, dekuli yama ben nedarim halachalashim b'nei adam." When it comes to nedarim, if this is what I meant, this is what I meant. If this is the way people say it, and that's fine. So, what's the machlokes over here, whether it includes roasting or not? So the Gemara answer is very simple. Mar ki asre, it depends on what the city they come from. The asre, the Tana Dilan, and the Tana of our mission, his city, Litzi, Kari, Leitzli, Ulu Mavushal, Kari, Leit Mavushal. When I refer to roasting, I say roasting. And when I refer to cooking, boiling, I say boiling. So it means two different things. So when I say the word Mavushal, I do not mean roasting. That's not the way I would refer to it. I wouldn't say, hi, are you going out to the grill to cook? You wouldn't say I'm cooking on the grill. I mean, maybe in English you would, but so that's not a good example. And maybe in English, taka, when I say cooking, I could include grilling, because I would use that expression. But the point is, when he wanted to say roasting, he used a different word. And there, as opposed to Ba'aser de Rav Yoshia, Afilu Tzli Kari Mavoshal. In his city, when they were referring to roasting, they used the word Mavoshal to describe it. Okay, and therefore, when he says Mavoshal, he includes that. But then the Gemara has a technical question about Krokhanos of Law. But the problem was, when Rav Yoshia, to back up his point, he wasn't just saying, that's what I say. He said, there's a Pasuk backs me up. So the Gemara answers, Asmachta Ba'almo, he's saying, no, the Pasuk is just proof that what I'm saying is not crazy. We did use it in this way, and there's a basis for why we refer to Bishul to refer to all those other things. But it's not coming to prove that to establish that it has to be that way, and it's based on the Pasuk. It just happens to be that the Pasuk is the Pasuk, and that's why he says, Ra'i L'dover, Zeich L'dover, Zeich L'dover. It happens to be that the Pasuk is consistent with the way we talk. But this is very interesting, just to take it one step further. We see that what the Gemara is telling us over here is that it literally can mean different things in different places. And therefore, it's not like Chazal decided that this is what the word means. So if you go, for example, to England, and you use certain words the example I like to give, which is nice and clean, is if I say the word torch. I say the word torch. So in America, when you refer to the word torch, you refer to usually a stick with a fire that comes, you know, that's lit on the top. In England, when you say the word torch, a torch is a flashlight. They don't use the word flashlight. They use the word torch. So when I go in ahead and I say, I make an eder that I'm not using a torch, what do I mean? So it depends. Depends where you come from. So we see that it literally depends on where you... So somebody asked me an interesting question. He's like, what if I, as an American, I'm in England and I make an eder that I'm not using a torch? What do I mean? is the Lashon B'nai Adam? Is Lashon B'nai Adam what the way I talk, or is Lashon B'nai Adam the way the people around me that are hearing my neder, what they think I mean? Anyway, interesting question. I'm not sure what the answer is in that context, but the point is that we see from this Gemara that it really literally depends on how I use the word. If that's how I use the word, then that's what it means. Okay. Now the Gemara continues with a quote from our Mishnah, Kanim Tavshil. Then we start talking about the next part of the Mishnah, said that Tavshil, a dish, something that is cooked as a prepared dish, that's what it's asr for meat. So the Gemara right away says, V'ha misbashel nodar. V'ha mitavshil nodar. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why are we making a difference? The Mishnah right away makes a difference between whether it's hard or it's soft, it's runny, it's not runny, and it gives all these different examples of the way things are cooked to be included. A tavshil is a tavshil. Anything that's prepared is prepared. Why should it make a difference? So the Gemara says, because again, it depends on what the Tana's version of the way he thinks people think. But if people don't think this way, it's not what it means. So the Gemara explains, Amar Abaya, Hai Tano, this Tana, our Mishnah, in other words, Komididimis Achobe Rifta Tavshul Karle. He refers to anything that is eaten together with bread, like if you have a gravy or a dip or something like that, then those things, that's what he means when he says the word tavshil. Once again, it depends on what you mean, what he means. Different people can mean different things, or different cultures, I should say, mean different things. You can't say, well, I mean, you know, make up your own language and decide that you mean something different. That's not acceptable. But the point is that the Tana, the Mishnah, referred to the word tavshil does have a general meaning. It does have a general meaning. So in the Tana's case, it means those things that are eaten together with bread. So the Gemara says Vahatanya, but we learned in a Braisa. Now this Vahatanya, the Mefarshim right away point out, is a benichusa, which is a raya. It's not a kasha, even though very often in Shas, Vahatanya, that expression is used as a kasha. Well, I'll prove to you not like that. It's actually, in this case, it is a proof, not the opposite. Vahatanya, we have a proof, because it says in the Braisa, Hanoidim in a tavshul, somebody makes an edin not to eat tavshul. Osir b'chol mine tavshul, he's osir to eat all cooked things, v'osir. So what are the examples? He's also in those things that are roasted and overcooked or undercooked, or mevusel, and things that are cooked regular. Oh, this is where it means he's also in those foods that are prepared for sick people. He explains, this is still the Braisa talking, because sick people eat them together with their bread. So what do we see from this? We see that it's something that wouldn't necessarily, in my mind, be considered a tafshil, but the Braisa explains, the Tana of the Braisa explains, you know why this is included in tafshil? Because it's eaten with bread. So this also, even though it's not something I would necessarily think of as a tafshil, but because it's eaten with bread, therefore it fits in the definition of tafshil. So we see very clearly that the Tana, and this Braisa is consistent with our Tana, that the concept of eating it with bread makes it fall into the category and definition of tafshil. Okay? So that's the proof that we see. Eini, but is that true? Rabbi Yirmiyahu Cholosh. Now, one of the things, this is a question specifically on this last example, the Hatirios Rakos. Hatirios Rakos is a type of gourd, it's a type of cucumber of some sort that they used to cook for sick people. So the question really is that a healthy food or not a healthy food? Eini, Vahar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Cholosh. Rabbi Yirmiyahu one time was sick. Olegabe Ahu Asu, this doctor came to heal him. And he saw that there was a pile of cucumbers that were lying around in the house, obviously as food. Shovke, so he left the house, Vinafak, and he left right away. Omar, and the doctor said, Malach Musa Isle Lidain Bebesa, this guy has the Malach HaMavis directly in his house, and I'm going to heal him. I'm going to go heal him. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so what do we see? We see very clearly, obviously, if the Gemara is going to tell us the story, the Gemara believes that this story is correct. So we see that cucumbers are the type of food that are not healthy, right? He was saying, well, how am I going to heal him if he's going ahead and making himself sick? So how, and the Braisa said that the hetirios are considered good and healthy. So loikasha, so it depends on what stage the cucumbers are up to. It's very simple. If we're talking about the soft kind of the early stage, then they're healthy. Bashuni, when they're old and they get hard, then they're not healthy anymore. That's one teretz. Rava bar ulo omar, ha bekara gufa ha begavei dekara. It depends on whether we're talking about the outside, the shell of the cucumber, or we're talking about the inside. The inside part of it is healthy, the outside part of it is not healthy. So really, depends what the doctor saw. But the doctor saw the outside, so he thought that he was going to eat the outside, so obviously he had a problem with that. But really, the inside, if it's prepared properly, can be healthy. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Lulivo, so this is just proof that the inside of the vegetable is something that you would eat. Rabbi Yehuda teaches us Lulivo dekara, the lathe. Lulivo is the heart. The heart of the vegetable, basilka, you should prepare it in beets, and that's considered a healthy dish. Luliva de kisna, and the heart of flax, kutcha, you should eat it together with kutach. You should, now this is not cooked together. The basilko is the way Ron learns is was cooked together. But when it comes to luliva the kisna, but the flax, the in part of flax, you should eat it with kutach. Kutach was an interesting, was a very pungent, very strong cheese type of dish that they used to have in the times of the Gemara. There are other places in the Gemara that the Gemara talks about kutach. So, anyway, so that it's a very strong dish. So you take the heart of the flax seed and you eat that, then it's a good dish. Anyway, the point is that you see the inside part of the vegetable is better. The davar zeh asur la'omrei b'fnei Am Ha'aretz. Then the Gemara finishes off very interesting. You shouldn't tell this to the Am Ha'aretz because we're afraid that now that they find out that the inside of flax is healthy to eat, we're afraid the Amaratzim are going to think that, oh, flax, it doesn't matter. They're allowed to steal it and they're going to take it off the plant and they're going to ruin the plants. And that's not really what the flax is there for. So we don't want to entice them to do this. Okay. All right. So anyway, so we see that it depends on which part of the vegetable you're eating. So the first teretz was it depends on whether it's new or old, or fresh or old. And the second teretz is depends on the inside or the outside. Rava gives a whole different teretz. And he says, man choylin rabona. When we say sick people, we don't mean literally sick people. We say sick people means the rabona because they're generally weak, right, as we'll see in a second. So we see that so they're not really sick. So then, for them it's healthy. Enochanami, for a sick person it would not be healthy. For a literally sick person it wouldn't be healthy. But for the Rabbanan it would be okay to eat. And where do we see that? Rava Latime, this is Rava following his general shita. Da'ama Rava, Kiman, now I'm going to Memtesam Abeis. Teman Matzlinon, for who do we daven al Katsiri the Almeri? So the top of Mem Tes and Beis, Katsiri are those people that are literally sick. Marie are the people who are bad off. That we see that we daven, now I'll talk about this in a second, but we see that we daven for both general sick people and for weak people. Teman Ka Rabbi Yossi, this is following Rabbi Yossi Shita. Now, so we'll tie this back into the Gemara in a second. Now, the point that the Gemara wants to prove is Midagamar Katsiri Umari, by the fact that we break it down into two separate categories of those people who are really sick and the people who are bad off. Shmamino Katsiri Katsiri Mamish. Katsiri means literally the sick people. Marie Rabbanon. Marie means the ones that are not in their best way are considered the Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon, why? Because the Rabbanon, either because of Toshas Koichon, or the Torah is Mateshas Koichon Shalandeha, that it makes the people who learn it weak. But the point is, we see that when we're referring to the Rabbanon, they're, so to speak, in a weaker state, even though they're not really literally physically sick. So therefore, okay, so anyway, so it depends. So back to the cucumber point. The cucumber point is that it depends. If you're talking about a really sick person, so anachanami, cucumbers are not going to be healthy for them. But if you're talking about the Rabbanon, for the Rabbanon that just need a boost, so for the Rabbanon, it's not considered an unhealthy food. In the case of the doctor, he was talking about Yirmiyahu was sick. So he was really, it wasn't because he was a Rav, it was because he was sick. So because he was sick, so then anachanami, the cucumbers were not going to be healthy for him. In any event, go back to this point over here, which between Rav and Rabbi Yosef is very interesting. Machlek is really Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, that the question is, do we daven for Rabbanon separately? Do we daven for sick people or not? So this is very interesting because we're all familiar in Shemana Esrei that we say Rofei Cholim, right? We have a bracha for Refuah Shleima, for Refuah. And we also have a bracha what's it called? In Esrei we say Al Sadiqim Al Chasidim. So this, the fact that we say this bracha Al Sadiqim is really going according to Rabbi Yossi Shita, not according to Rava Shita. When we say Al Pleita Seifrehem is referring to the Talmid Chachamim. And the fact that we need to daven for the Talmud, this is what the Gemara means when it says when we daven two times for the Reifei of Cholim, we're referring one time, this is one of the Rishonim learn like this, one of the times is Reifei Cholim, and the second time is Fa'enu, and one of the times is Pleita Seifrayim, and that's what the Marii is. Okay, so we talk to a paskin like this, that we daven separately for the Talmidei Chachamim that need our extra tefillos, because otherwise they don't have the strength. Okay, now we continue. Now the Gemara continues with another quote from our Mishnah, Mutar Ba'ava. So we already established that we're talking about that it depends on whether it's eaten with bread or not. Okay? Actual machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rav. Rav is saying, who do we daven like the fact that we reference both Talmidei Chachamim and sick people separately? That's Rabbi Yossi Shita. But really the machlokes, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings a machlokes between them, between Rav and Rabbi Yossi, about whether or not we even reference these, we daven for the refuah of sick people and or Talmidei Chachamim during the year in general. Because it's a machlokes whether we say that the only time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dan people is Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, since the decree is sealed after Rosh Hashanah, there is no point in davening during the rest of the year for these things, because whatever your fate was sealed on Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to change anything by davening during the rest of the year. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, so this really goes back to another machlekas. It goes back to machlekas whether we hold Yesh Mazel Be Yisrael, Ein Mazel Be Yisrael. If you hold Yesh Mazel Be Yisrael, so then every day you can. They're two different machlekasim, but they tie them together. So then, if you hold Yesh Mazel Be Yisrael, so every day you could have a different mazel, and every day there could be a different din. Again, different machlekas, but they tie them together. You could have a different din. So therefore, it makes sense for you to be davening during the week on a regular weekday Shemana Esrei, which is what we do. That's the point, that we have Refa'enu and we have Alat Tzadikim. The point is that we daven for these things, even during the year, throughout the year, we daven for these things, because we say that these things can be changed. Our mazel could be changed throughout the year. Whereas Rava Lashitasoi, that's the really when Rava Lashitasoi held not like Rabbi Yossi, and he held that everything was sealed on Rosh Hashanah, and Ein Mazel Be Yisrael. So all of those things, so then there really was no point in davening separately between, to daven for the Rifa'enu during the regular year. Because it wasn't going to change anything anyway. On Rosh Hashanah, that's when you daven. But after Rosh Hashanah, there would be no point. That's why the Gemara's phrase over here is, Kiman Matzlin and Al-Ksir Val-Mari. Which shita are we following when we daven for these things during the year? That would be Kiman K'Rabbi Yossi. That would be only like Rabbi Yossi shita. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not necessarily a done deal and there's nothing you can do about it only on Rosh Hashanah. According to Rabbi Yossi, you could deal with it during the rest of the year as well, which obviously is the way we've asked him, because that's the way we daven during the rest of the year. Then quotes mutter ba'ava, so we say that it's mutter to eat with thick food, because thick food, as we already described, it doesn't get eaten together with other bread. So if it's not eaten with bread, that's not, in the Tana's opinion, what the definition of tavshil is. So if that's not the definition of tavshil, so then that's not what's included in my neder. But to which the Gemara immediately replies and says, "Masisin deloy ke bavloy." So our Mishnah does not agree with the way the bavloy used to act. Damar of Zera bavloy tipshoi, the crazy bavloyim, the achli lachma belachma. They used to eat a bread sandwich. They used to eat bread with bread. Now they didn't. What that means to say is that they used to eat bread together with other things that really could have been eaten independently and separately. But they used to eat bread together with everything else, and therefore. So they used to eat bread specifically with daisa, which is this porridge could be cooked thicker. So once it was cooked thicker, so again, our custom, or at least the Mishnah's custom, we'll call it, was that they would not eat that, they would eat it as a separate meal, they wouldn't necessarily eat it together with bread. And the bavel, they used to eat it as part of the bread as well, so therefore we call it lachma balachma. It doesn't mean literally bread. And then the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chisda, the Mashin Lahoin, when they ask these people, Lahalein Nekti, these people who are, again, it's Machlekes what the Girso over here is, but we'll go with the Girso that we have in our Gemara, Nakdoni, the Hutzel from Hutzel, these people who are either eat clean or careful in what they eat. So they ask them the following question, Hadein Daiso, this porridge, Heichen Mali Lamechel, what's the best way to eat it? Dechiti Belachma Dechiti, do you eat wheat-based daisa, wheat-based porridge with bread that's also made out of wheat, v'disari b'lachma disari, and the is oats, barley-based daisa is eaten with barley-based bread, or maybe the other way around, you eat wheat with barley and barley with wheat. So the Rava ochla b'chassisi. So Rava ate it actually. He would eat it with chassisi, is unfinished kernels of wheat that didn't grow all the way, that didn't completely ripen. They used to roast them, and that's what he used to eat together. They used to make bread out of that corn, it's not really corn, but he used to make those, you know, a bread out of these roasted kernels. So that's really the best way to eat it. Rabba bar Rav Huna, Ashkechei the Rav Huna, the Kachal Daisim Etzba Osei. So he was eating his food using his fingers. Amalei, Amai Kachal Mar Biyodir. Why are you using your hands? Amalei, Hachi Amarav. So Rav taught me, Daisim Etzba Osei, Bosim. He says, if you eat it with your fingers, it's the best. Now, the question is, if you eat it with one finger, that's good. But Kol Degein Betarti, if you eat it with two fingers, even better. The Kol Degein Betlas, if you eat it with three fingers, it's even better. It tastes even better. Amalei Rav lechia berei. So Rav said to his son, Chia, v'chein amalei Rav Huna l'rabba berei. So Rav Huna said to his son, Rabba, mizamna l'chol l'meichol daisa ad parsa. So this is interesting. Two completely different ways to read this Gemara. The Ran reads the Gemara as follows. He says, if somebody invites you to eat a meal of daisa, of porridge, it's worth walking up to a mile. But if they invite you to eat meat, the tura of an ox, at close to parsi, it's worth walking up to three parsis. I translate the word mile, but it's probably much more than a mile. It's probably three times that amount. In any event, so the point is that these are, the way the Ram learns that these are healthy meals, so it's worth using the energy to walk a mile just to get the meal because it's worth it. The Rush learns this Gemara exactly the opposite. And he says that that these are not worth it. Meaning, if a guy can drive you crazy up to a mile, he can walk with you up to a mile, convincing you to come eat it, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. And a meat also was up to 3 miles. Even if he's trying to talk you and convince you into coming, it's not worth it. So the Rush learns exactly the opposite. So the way the Rush understands it is because, as you know, of course, in those days, meat was not refrigerated, and if it wasn't eaten immediately, it wasn't really the freshest, it wasn't really the best. So it wasn't worth it. If it takes 3 miles to convince you to come eat it, it's not worth it. That's the way the Rush understood the Gemara. Okay? So a little bit of a different pshat. Amalei Rav, Rav L'chiyah Barei, once again Rav said to his son Chiyah, V'chein Amalei Rav Huna L'Rav Barei, Kol Midam Loi Tiflot Kamei Raboch. You shouldn't spit things out in front of your Rebbe if you don't like something or if you have saliva in your mouth. Now, this is very important. If you have saliva in your mouth, you should not spit it out. Labar min kara v'daisa, except for saliva from either gourds, vegetable, or daisa. Shein doimin lipsilta shel aver. Those are similar to like the heated up lead. Heated up lead, if you were to swallow it, and we also know that's the misa of chenek. So these are very unhealthy. Swallowing back the saliva after these foods is really not healthy to you, and you should spit it out. And even not only in front of your Rebbe, but in front of Shmur Malka was the Egyptian king or queen, you should not worry about your company. These are unhealthy. You should spit them out. There are those that learn Shmur Malka is referring to Shmuel. Shmuel also was referred to as Shmur Malka. In any event, the point is, even in front of a chashuv or rav, if you have to spit it out, you have to spit it out. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, chad ochel daisa be'etzba asei. One ate food, the parish using his fingers. V'chad ochel v'hutza, and the other one used a, hutza is usually translated as a thorn. It's a wooden, let's call it a wooden spoon. The one who was eating using the spoon said to the guy eating with his fingers, till when are you going to eat your tzoya? The tzoya is, you know, your feces from when you wipe. So your fingers are filthy and you're sticking them directly into the food. That's really not healthy. So the guy who eat with his fingers retorted back, responded to the guy who eats with the fork and says, till when are you going to continue to feed us your saliva? Because you're going to take your fork out of your mouth and you're going to stick it back. So I'm eating all your saliva. Now, based on the Gemara we just said before, the saliva of Daisa is unhealthy. So you're worried about my tzoya. I'm more worried about your saliva is unhealthy, so I don't want that either. So obviously, and it, apparently the minig was that they had the forks, they didn't wash them, they didn't have the sanitization that we have, or at least the concept of sanity, sanitizing the way we have nowadays. So therefore it was dangerous. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aisa l'kamayhu plus bein. They brought in front of them these figs. They brought them figs. Rabbi Yehuda ochel, so Rabbi Yehuda ate it. Rabbi Shimon loy ochel. Rabbi Shimon did not eat it. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, my time loy ochel mar. So Rabbi Yehuda asked, why aren't you eating it? Amalei Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon answered, Elu ein yoisim ibnei ma'ayim kolikar. They don't digest. They don't go through your system. So I'm not eating it. It's not healthy. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda answered, Kol shekein shenis mechalein lemochel. That's great. That's perfect. Then I eat it. It sits. It stays in my system, in my digestive system. Then I don't have to eat tomorrow because I still have food in my system. So the system breaks it down. It's again, now, as you're going to see in a moment, Rabbi Yehuda was very poor. So we see that this was, from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, this was the best type of food because it keeps you full for a long time. Rabbi Yehuda Avi Yosef Kameder of Tarfin. Now, Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Tarfin. Amalei Rabbi Tarfin, Hayoim Panecha Tzuhuvin. So Rabbi Tarfin said, to Rabbi Yehuda, today you look good, you look bright. Amalei Emesh Yotzu Avadecha L'Sodra. So they said, yeah, the explanation is because yesterday your servants went to the field. They gave us beets, v'achalnum b'loy melech, and we ate them without salt, and they were so yummy they made us feel good. V'achalnum b'melech, and if we had salt with it, kol shegen shayapaneinu tzuvin, we would be, our faces would be even brighter. The Mefarshim point out that Rabbi Yehuda was Rabbi Tarfin's student, And really the reason, as we'll see in a moment, that Rabbi Yehuda looked so good is because the Torah made him look so good. But he didn't want to say this to his Rebbe because he didn't want to make it sound like he was smarter than his Rebbe. So he blamed it on the food. He said, it was the food that made me look so good. Right? That's, in contrast, the next story, we say, Amar Imatranisa the Rabbi Yehuda. So this important Goyish lady said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mayri Varavi, so you seem to be paskening, but on the other hand, you look drunk. So again, as you know, when a person is drunk, you know, their face is shiny. So Amar Lay, so Amar Law, so he said to her, Eminusa Biyada, believe me in your hands. Believe me, in other words. Dahi Issa. In other words, it should be, the proof is, should be to this woman. Ita imna, so you have to believe me when I say, Ita imna, if the only one that I tasted, Ela Kiddusha, Vavdalta, Kiddush, and Shavis, and Havdalah, Va'arba Kosi de Pisco, and the four cups of wine that I drink on Pesach. The Chugrani Tzidoi Mina Pesach Arateres, and from drinking those four cups of wine, I have to wrap myself in a cloth until Shavuos, because my head hurts so hard. So we see it wasn't the wine, because I don't drink wine very often. Ella Chachmas Adam Tayyipan. This is the Pasuk in Kelos. You see that the Chachma of a person lights up his face. When a person is proud of what, you know, is excited about what he's learning and it's making an impact on him, that lights up his face. So again, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda. By the way, over here, to her, he was able to say that it was the Torah that was impacting, the way he was looked and he looked so fresh and so on and so forth, was because the Torah made him feel that way. Amaleya Utsaduki the Rabbi Yehuda. Now Utsaduki, who's had a bad intention, says to Rabbi Yehuda, Panecha Doimin, Ikimalve Ribis Ikimagad the Chazirim. You see how they, each person sees, you know, the queen or the officer, she thinks about wine. The Tzaduki thinks about doing Averis. He says, you look like somebody who lends with ribis or somebody who grazes pigs. Apparently raising pigs was a very profitable profession. So he says, because you look all happy, you look all comfortable. Amalei Biyudai. So he, Rabbi Yehuda answered in Israel and among the Yidden, Tarvayo Asirin. They're usher. I don't do that. Ella Esrim Ba'arbe Base Akise Isli Min Besa Ad Base Medrasha. I have 24 bathrooms between my house and the Base Medrash. V'chol Shah V'shah Ani Nichnas V'chol Echad V'Echad. And every hour, the way I understand it is, as I'm walking, I stop in every bathroom. I'm not sure. The literal translation is every hour I would go to each one of those bathrooms. But the point is that the fact that he was able to relieve himself when he needed to relieve himself made him look very comfortable. And again, this was an answer that the Tzaduki could appreciate. This, telling the Tzaduki it's the Torah that makes me look so good is not something that the Tzaduki was going to be able to appreciate and relate to. Rabbi Yehuda, when he would go to the Beis Medrash, Shakol Gulfa, he would take a barrel, Al Kasve, on his shoulder. Omar, Gedoyla Malacha Shemechabedes is Bala. He says, doing work makes the owner look proper. So the simple translation is that, the simple way of reading this is that he would take the barrel with him, so that when he got into the Beis Medrash, he didn't have to sit on the floor like most of the Talmidim. They would sit literally on the floor. Instead, he would sit on a barrel. And the way the Ran learns is simple, that by sitting on the barrel, he didn't get his clothing dirty. I saw a different shot, as we'll see in a moment, that Rabbi Yehuda was very poor and he didn't even have a shirt. So what he used to do was he used to carry this barrel on his shoulder so that he looked like somebody who was in the middle of doing a job. He was carrying something, he was carrying a barrel someplace, so he didn't have a shirt on. So it was okay. It was okay for him to be carrying this barrel because people looked at him. And that's what he would say, that the malacha, that's why he would say the malacha mechabedes es baalo. Not the malacha in terms of the fact that the barrel is able to do a job. He was saying that the fact that if I have a job, then it makes me look okay. Right? So if I'm doing something, then it looks perfectly normal. If I wouldn't be doing anything and I would be walking around without a shirt, then it wouldn't look appropriate. Similarly, the Gemara tells the story of Shimon Shokol Tzina. He would take a jar, Al Kasve. So the Tzina, the way they translate it, at least I saw in the art schools, they translate it as a straw barrel, and put it on his shoulders. Same thing. He would bring it to the Beis Medrash with him so that he would be able to sit on it. But the other pshat is also that he would use it to protect from the hot and from the sun and from the rain. He would use it as something that he would be able to put over himself to protect himself from the weather. Now the Gemara concludes and says, the Visur de Rabbi Yehuda, Nafkas, the wife of Rabbi Yehuda, went out. Nikitas Imro, she took some wool. Avda Glima Dohitiva, and she made herself a very nice shawl. I'm going to use the word shawl, a scarf, something that you could wrap around yourself. And there, she, okay, good. So she made herself this pretty, this very nice garment. Kanafkes lashuka, when she went out to the market, nichsebei, she would wear it to go out to the market. The kanafik Rabbi Yehuda litzluye. Now, interesting, when Rabbi Yehuda would go out to daven, having michse umasli, and he would wear this same shawl, and he would daven. The kad michsebei, when he would wear it, having mavarach, he would say kabracha, baruch shatani meil, that I have a garment like a shirt to wear. So this is obviously the question that pops into everybody's mind is that, so he was wearing the same shirt as his wife, so why isn't this a beged isha problem? So there are many answers to this question, but interestingly that in Shulchan Aruch the Bach paskins that if you're wearing something, an outer garment which is not meant to look feminine or masculine, but it's meant to protect you from the weather, there is no isser of loisilbash. So let's say, for example, you're wearing a kind of coat, again, that doesn't necessarily look feminine or masculine. A type of coat would be something that there is no begadisha. The other answer is obviously, if it's a kind of, there are many things that we could potentially, like glasses, for example. I know, yeah, there are feminine, there are some glasses that are clearly have a feminine look to them or masculine look to them, but we both wear glasses. So the fact that I'm wearing glasses by definition doesn't necessarily mean that I'm wearing begadisha, even though women also wear it and even though men also wear it. Now, again, I said there are certain designs that maybe fall into that category, but the fact that both men and women wear the same thing doesn't necessarily by definition mean that I'm wearing a begadisha. So that's what the Mefarshim deal with over here. So the fact that they wore something nice and it could look either way, that's fine. Anyways, the Gemara finishes off with the story. We'll finish with this. Zimna Chodo, one time, Gazer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Tainisus. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who was the Nasi, made a Tainis for whatever reason. He felt it was necessary. Rabbi Yehuda Loyos and Rabbi Yehuda didn't come to the Beit Tainis. He didn't come to the gathering. Amrin Lei, Loy Islay Kisuyet. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was a little bit upset that he didn't come. So they told him, he said, he doesn't have a shirt. He doesn't have clothing to come to wear. Shadar le glima. So the Nasi sent him a shirt for like kibul. But Rabbi Yehuda did not want to accept the shirt. Now I'm just going to finish with two lines on the top of Nun Amud Aleph. Dali tzifta. So then he lifted up the mat that he was sitting on. Again, different mefarshim explain why exactly he lifted up the mat. Either he felt the bump, or he lifted it up to put something underneath it. For whatever reason, the point is that he lifted it up the mat. The Amar Lei Lishlucha, and he told the shliach that came to give him the shirt. Chazi Mai Ika, he says, see what's over here. In other words, underneath it was a, so to speak, a pot of gold. There were gold coins underneath the mat. I don't want to have anah from this world. What he's saying is like this. He's saying, don't be insulted that I'm rejecting the shirt, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me stuff, and I don't take, so to speak, free presents from HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. So if I don't take this I have, and I don't need it, so I don't take it. So don't be insulted that I'm not taking the shirt from you either. Okay, so we'll stop over here.